Going to have our Bible reading now, and Arnie is going to come and read for us. Thank you.
Good morning. Reading this morning is taken from Genesis 27, verses 1 to 29. When Isaac was old and his eyes were so weak that he could no longer see, he called for Esau, his older son, and said to him, "My son." "Here I am," he answered. Isaac said, "I am now an old man and don't know the day of my death. Now then, get your equipment, your quiver and bow, and go out to the open country to hunt some wild game for me. Prepare me the kind of tasty food I like and bring it to me to eat, so that I may give you my blessing before I die." Now Rebekah was listening as Isaac spoke to his son Esau. When Esau left for the open country to hunt game and bring it back, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, "Look, I overheard your father say to your son Esau, 'Bring me some game and prepare me some tasty food to eat, so that I can give you my blessing in the presence of the Lord before I die.' Now, my son, listen carefully and do what I tell you. Go out to the flock and bring me two choice young goats, so I can prepare some tasty food for your father, just the way he likes it. Then take it to your father to eat, so that he may give you his blessing before he dies." Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, "My brother Esau is an hairy man, while I have smooth skin. What if my father touches me? I would appear to be tricking him and would bring down a curse on myself rather than a blessing." His mother said to him, "My son, let the curse fall on me. Just do what I say. Go and get them for me." So he went and got them and brought them to his mother, and she prepared some tasty food just the way his father liked it. Then Rebekah took the best clothes of Esau, her older son, which she had in the house, and put them on her younger son, Jacob. She also covered his hands and the smooth part of his neck with goatskins. Then she handed her son Jacob the tasty food and the bread she had made. He went to his father and said, "My father." "Yes, my son," he answered. "Who is it?" Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Please sit up and eat some of my game so that you may give me your blessing." Isaac asked his son, "How did you find it so quickly, my son?" "Oh, the Lord your God gave me success," he replied. Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Come near so I can touch you, my son, to know whether you really are my Esau or not." Jacob went close to his father Isaac, who touched him and said, "The voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau." He did not recognize him, for his hands were hairy like those of his brother Esau, so he proceeded to bless him. "Are you really my son Esau?" he asked. "I am," he replied. Then he said, "My son, bring me some of the game to eat so that I may give you my blessing." Jacob brought it to him, and he ate, and he brought some wine, and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, "Come here, my son, and kiss me." So he went to him and kissed him. When Isaac caught the smell of his clothes, he blessed him and said, "Ah, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you heaven's dew and earth's richness, an abundance of grain and new wine. May nations serve you and peoples bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may the sons of your mother bow down to you. May those who curse you be cursed, and those who bless you be blessed. Amen."
Thank you, Arnie. It's quite a story, isn't it? Back in the life of Jacob and this dysfunctional family. And what we will see today is a mother, Rebecca, usurping the authority of her husband and conniving with her son, Jacob, to make sure he gets the blessing that was intended for his older brother, Esau. All because he is her favorite son. All I can say is I'm glad we're not looking at this, or we didn't look at this last Sunday. Not the ideal Mothering Sunday passage, I guess. It's a passage really all about blessing. So we're going to see an aging father, Isaac, realizes he's fast approaching the end of his life. And so he summons his oldest son, Esau, to pass on the blessing. So we're going to read the whole passage, not all of it together, but working our way through it. So let's read from verses 1 to 4, which kind of sets the scene, really, for this story. When Isaac was old, his eyes were weak, he could no longer see. He called for Esau, his older son, and said to him, "My son." "Here I am," he answered. Isaac said, "I am now an old man, I don't know the day of my death. Now then, get your equipment, your quiver and bow, and go out to the open country to hunt for some wild game for me. Prepare me the kind of tasty food I like and bring it to me to eat, so that I may give you my blessing before I die." So, as I say, this is kind of setting the stage. Isaac, this old man, preparing for his own death, and getting ready to pass on this blessing to his oldest son. I think we said last time that this was a normal thing, that the oldest son would receive the blessing from his father. And the blessing meant that he would get a disproportionate share in his father's inheritance. He would get the bulk of it, which we might think is a little bit unfair, but that would come with great responsibility as well. He would be responsible for leading the family, providing for the family, and so he would need all the resources available to him, you know, if he was to do that successfully. So the blessing, what is blessing? I don't know what comes to your mind when you think of the word blessing. Maybe something you say before a meal. Here's what the dictionary says. I googled it, as we all do. This is what it says about blessing. It is a prayer asking for God's favor and protection. It is a beneficial thing for which one is grateful, something that brings well-being. I think that's a fair sort of description of blessing. So this morning we're going to think about blessing, and I'm going to give you kind of 4 points about blessing. First of all, blessing has power. You have had words spoken to you by someone in authority, someone you respected, could be a parent or a teacher or a friend, and those words have stayed with you. Words that have been said, possibly decades ago, you know, maybe a long time ago, something was said to you, and it's informed you, it's formed you, it's shaped you, it's in many ways made you part of who you are today. It's really impacted your life. I'm going to share briefly 2 stories of words of blessing that were spoken to me. One when I was just a schoolboy and in a football team, in the school football team, and I was picked to play for the county. It was called Fife Select. I only played one game, but I played one game. And at the end of the game, the coach came over, put his arm around my shoulder, and simply said, "I'm proud of you." And that was it. I mean, playing football, I guess having an artificial eye, I don't know what it was. And there was this kind of big guy I was told to mark. And it was just at the end of the game, he just came over, put his hand on my shoulder, and simply said, "I'm proud of you." And I won't forget that. I cannot forget that. I don't want to forget it. Second little story. I think some of you know we spent 11 years in Scotland pastoring a church on the west coast. And after being there only, I think, a year or two, we discovered that the church had been thinking of renovating the building for years. And we were shown loads of different plans that had come and gone, and nothing had ever happened. And after two or three years, here we were, about to begin a building project. And I remember Pat Wilhouse knows who I'm referring to. He's just celebrated his 90th birthday recently, an ex-Baptist minister and served in BMS as well. And I said to him, "Angus, how is it that we're suddenly doing this building project when it's been shelved time and time again?" And he said words to the effect, "It's because we are now in safe hands." I thought, wow. You know, it was quite a touching thing to hear. Words have power, don't they? Even words maybe just said in passing can have tremendous power. Words that affirm us, words that serve to build us up, make us stronger. These are words of blessing. Sometimes the opposite is true, and maybe you've had words spoken to you that are not affirmative or positive. Maybe hurtful words, destructive words, words that knock you down rather than build you up. You know, and I kind of think these are words a bit like, I was going to say the old vinyl records, but they're making a comeback now, aren't they? You know, when you had a scratch on a vinyl record, what happened? The needle got stuck, didn't it? And it would repeat the same words again and again and again. And I think those destructive words are a bit like that. And they get played over in our mind again and again and again. And very often we need someone, don't we, to come along and lift the needle so that we can once again sing the songs of the Lord. Words are powerful. Words are very powerful. Perhaps no more powerful than for Isaac on his deathbed, speaking his final words to his son. Words that would have been very carefully chosen. So that's the first thing. Blessings are powerful. Secondly, we all deeply desire blessings. Let's just come back to this dysfunctional family in Genesis. From what we can tell, Jacob wasn't exactly drowning in his dad's approval and praise. Back in Genesis 25, we're told quite a bit about Jacob and Esau. So, for example, when they grew up, Esau was a skilled hunter, a man of the field. Isaac loved Esau. He was a man's man, I suppose. If he were here today, perhaps he would have a kind of a John Deere cap, driving a pickup truck, wearing old scruffy jeans, or I don't know, something like that. He was an outdoors man, wasn't he? Jacob, on the other hand, had smooth skin. He dwelt in tents. He's a peaceful man. He spends a lot of time at home with his mum. Maybe he was a mum's boy. They couldn't be more different, Jacob and Esau. And Jacob is desperate to get his father's blessing. Remember last time we saw Esau coming back from hunting, he was famished, and Jacob says, you know, I'll give you some of this lovely stew in exchange for the blessing, my father's blessing. And he seemed quite happy to do that. Jacob, he really desires a blessing. Today we see Jacob dressing up to impersonate his brother so he can go and trick his dad into giving him the blessing. If we were to jump forward in Genesis to Genesis 32, which we will reach at some point, we find Jacob wrestling with an angel of the Lord. They wrestle together all night. And in the morning, Jacob says to the angel, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. His whole life revolves around getting God's blessing. I think that's true of every one of us, by the way. We all deeply desire blessing, and rightly so. We long to hear these words, don't we? I'm proud of you, or I celebrate you, or there's no one else like you, or I believe in you, when you don't believe in yourself. We all deeply desire blessing. Of course, we could simply add to that as well, we cannot bless ourselves. The words of blessing have to be spoken to us. We cannot affirm ourselves, we need others to affirm us. It's not about believing in ourselves, because that quickly fades away. We need others to come along and say, I believe in you. So, blessings are powerful, and I think we all desire them, and rightly so. Thirdly, where do we generally look for blessing? Okay, well, let's return to our story from verse 5. Now Rebekah was listening as Isaac spoke to his son Esau. When Esau left for the open country to hunt game and bring it back, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, look, I overheard your father say to your brother Esau, bring me some game and prepare me some tasty food to eat so that I may give my blessing in the presence of the Lord before I die. Now, my son, listen carefully, scheming mother, and do what I tell you. Go out to the flock and bring me two choice young goats so that I can prepare some tasty food for your father, just the way he likes it. Then take it to your father to eat so that he may give you his blessing before he dies. Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, but my brother Esau is a hairy man and I have smooth skin. You know, it's not going to work. What if my father touches me? I would appear to be tricking him and would bring down a curse on myself rather than a blessing. His mother said to him, my son, let the curse fall on me. Just do what I say. Go and get them for me. So he went and got them and brought them to his mother and prepared some tasty food, just the way his father liked it. Then Rebekah took the best clothes of Esau and her older son, which she had in the house, and put them on her younger son Jacob. She also covered his hands and smooth part of his neck with the goatskins. Then she handed to her son Jacob the tasty food and the bread she had made. See, Jacob couldn't get the blessing from the one person he wanted it from. And so he puts on this disguise with his mum's cunning plan and assistance. He pretends to be his brother. How do you fool a blind man? How do you fool a blind man? You kind of throw a curveball, I think, at all his remaining senses. You try to trick him with the senses that he does have. See, Isaac can't see, but he can touch. He can smell. He can hear. He can taste. And so that's basically how it unfolds. You know, a young voice comes and says, you know, Dad, I'm back. Dad says, well, you're home a little early, son. Ah, yeah, the Lord gave me favor. Oh, that's pretty cool. So Jacob walks in. Isaac says, well, the voice isn't quite right. Why don't you come a bit closer so I can touch you? And he feels the arm of his son and he says, kind of feels like the arm of Esau. And then Isaac says, bring me some of that food that I may taste it. And he tastes it and he says, just the kind of food Esau would bring me. And then Isaac says, come a little closer, my son, that I may kiss you. Ah, smells just like Esau. So Jacob appeals to all those senses that are still, you know, alive within Isaac. Now you might be sitting here thinking, well, what a charade to pull off. What a crazy thing to do. You know, I would never do that. Wouldn't you? Well, let's think about that. I think we're all a bit more like Jacob than we perhaps would like to think. Often referred to as imposter syndrome, where we can get something we want by pretending ever so subtly to be someone that we're not. By the way, we all do it. Maybe to get approval from someone. Maybe to, you know, for all sorts of reasons. To benefit us. How easy it is to put on an act. How easy it is to be super spiritual, for example. Don't we all do it? I do it. I think we all do it in very subtle ways, or we have done it. In order to get an approval or to get something we want, we can pretend or act out, maybe just by the words that we say, that are not quite us, not quite me. Deception in order to get the blessing. Okay, what happens after the deception? Well, Isaac blesses his son, who he thinks is Esau. So let's continue to read. Verses 28 and 29. May God give you heaven's dew and earth's richness, an abundance of grain and new wine. May nations serve you and peoples bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers. And may the sons of your mother bow down to you. May those who curse you be cursed, and those who bless you be blessed. So Jacob pulls off this deception, and he's given his father's blessing. Was Jacob successful? Was he successful? You're not sure? Okay. In many ways, yes, of course he was. He got the blessing. Does his future life reflect a life of blessedness? Not by a country mile. I mean, we're going to stop here in a moment, but if we were to take a sneak preview, I can assure you that this deception would lead to the whole family totally imploding. Everything is going to unravel. Esau will become so angry with Jacob that, in fact, he wants to kill him. Jacob has to flee for his life. You know, it's just complete madness erupts. Was he blessed? Yes, he got the blessing, but with that deceptiveness came a whole load of trouble. So a quick recap of the points we've made, and then one final point. So words of blessing are powerful. I think we all know that. Words that have been spoken to us, that have affirmed us, you know, that have built us up and have stayed with us. We hold on to them. But words also can be very hurtful, very destructive. And I think very often we do need somebody to come along and lift a needle for us so that we can move on. We all deeply desire blessing. Just like Jacob, we all need to hear, don't we? You know, I'm proud of you. I believe in you. You're amazing, or whatever it happens to be. Sometimes I think we go around about receiving the blessing in the wrong way, by putting on a little subtle disguise, saying things in a particular way, which is not really us. Finally, where do we find our true blessing? Where do we find our true blessing? The Bible tells us that Jesus is the only begotten Son of the Father. He is the firstborn of all creation. That means he lived his life in the goodness of his Father, being the, you know, he lived in the firstborn blessing. That was rightfully his. The Father adored him, loved him, poured favor upon him. And yet, despite being loved and honored and favored, what did Jesus do? He relinquished it. He gave it all up on the cross, when he paid for your sin and my sin. Instead of being a blessing, he became a curse. Let's just go back to the story of Jacob. Do you remember when Rebecca is telling Jacob this conniving plan to deceive her husband? And Jacob says, you know, what if it all goes badly wrong? What if he's not convinced? What if I get found out? Do you remember what Rebecca said? Yeah, exactly. Let the curse fall on me. She was prepared to take the hit of her son was found out. And what Rebecca offered to do, Jesus did do, didn't he, on the cross. He allowed the curse to fall on him. And in so doing, we receive the blessing. We receive the full inheritance as sons and daughters. Jesus became a curse willingly so that you and I might become the blessed. Father God, we bless you for this time shared together, a holy hour really, time to worship, to pray, to listen, to reflect, and to leave into a new week, having hopefully been nurtured and fed, and our hearts warmed and stirred, ready to go and to serve you, the living God. Lord, empower us afresh with your Spirit. Go before us, Lord. Open doors, may opportunities come our way for us to speak and act for you. Lord, may your blessing fall upon us. Your favor be upon us. So go with us, Lord, we pray, as we offer ourselves to you. In the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.